Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
You have your Bible with you this afternoon. Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We have been making our way through this great epistle here for some time, and we are coming very, very close to the end. Lord willing, we will finish it this coming Lord's Day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We are going to consider verses 23 and 24, but I'd like to read from verse 12 for context. Before we hear the reading and the preaching of God's holy word, let's go before him together in prayer. Pray with me. Great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you now, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the truth of it, Lord. We pray that your Spirit would be mightily at work in and through it in our hearts and in our minds. That we would receive, Lord, what you declare, that we would receive it with great joy, that we would be diligent, Lord, to be doers of your word and not hearers only, that we would be obedient to you and found faithful. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. Hear now the holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible word of the living God. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's word. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word to us. Well, beloved in Christ, in the context of our passage today, in verses 23 and 24, we've learned much from Paul's words regarding our inward attitude as Christians. We must continue to be joyful. Paul says that to do so, we must continue to pray and to give thanks for that which God has been pleased to give us. And having encouraged us to cultivate this inward attitude, which will express itself in personal concern for one another, that will take an interest in those who are weak, those who are rebellious, those who are faint-hearted, those who are becoming weak in well-doing, Paul says that it will also express itself in not quenching the Holy Spirit of God. And he reminds us of the importance of the work of the Spirit in the lives of all Christians as we pursue holiness. And then Paul taught the Thessalonians that in doing that, then they were not to despise prophesying. And we also considered the theological connection between prophesying and the preaching of the Word of God. We saw the importance of the preached Word and our reception of it. We must not grow tired in that which appears to the world to be the foolishness of the gospel. Paul says, no. The foolishness of the wisdom of the world, that which looks wise, God says, that is really foolish. However, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:17. In fact, Paul went on to say that we must have the proper reception of the Word. We are to hear it unto proving all things. We should test that which we hear according to the Word of God. And having tested what we've heard, we are then to hold on to what is good and to reject and abstain from that which is evil. And today we are going to look at Paul's closing words, his benediction, in verses 23 and 24. These are his words of blessing regarding the saints' complete sanctification. These are also for their preservation, that they would be preserved blameless at the second coming of Christ, Paul said. And if you recall, one of the reasons that Paul wrote this epistle was because their sanctification was not complete. He hoped that by the work of the Spirit, this letter would be an encouragement to the believers in their growth in grace. And so in 23a, we see Paul's desire. He says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." Paul's great desire was that God would sanctify them, not partially, but completely. Now, some of you may be thinking, can this be really true of me? To be sanctified completely. I mean, I can imagine maybe that that would be true of some others. But, Pastor, can it be true of me? My friends, if you are in Christ, yes, it can. And it will. Don't doubt, but be encouraged by the work and the promises of God in these verses. And further, have confidence in the truth communicated by Paul's words to the church in Philippi in Philippians 1:6, when he said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Christ Jesus." Here in verse 23, Paul really teaches us two things. First, the one who sanctifies. And secondly, he teaches us details of his work of sanctification. And Paul begins by referring to the author of our sanctification, the God of peace himself. You know, it's true that God is often referred to by Paul as the God of peace. This isn't the only place in the Scriptures. He does so in Romans 15:33, Romans 16:20, as well as Philippians 4:9. But why would Paul want us to be reminded that our God who sanctifies and keeps us is also the God of peace? Well, there are two reasons. First, it reminds us that God is at peace with us through justification. God has justified us. So he is no longer at enmity with us. We are no longer enemies of God, but we are his children and friends in Christ. Think of the apostle's words in Romans 5:1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." My friends, because we have been justified, Therefore, we have peace, and that peace is with God because of the person and finished work of Jesus Christ. Christ's active obedience in keeping the law, as well as his passive obedience in suffering on the cross and paying for the penalty of our sins. He was delivered up for our offenses and raised for our justification. Romans 4:25. But secondly, Paul is also reminding us that the God of peace is at work in his people. Paul has taught us about many important duties that we need to be diligent about as Christians, even in this very epistle, many of which have one another aspects to them. And as God sanctifies us, he does so by increasing our experience of the peace of God, as well as making us more peaceable people. In other words, we are at peace with God, and therefore we should understand that we will experience the peace of God as well as we will experience peace amongst ourselves as he is at work in and amongst us. By his grace, we can do the very thing that Paul commands us to do in verse 13. Be at peace amongst yourselves. We can be at peace because he is peace and works peace in his people. And so Paul knew that the Thessalonians needed to be reminded of the God of peace, just as we do today. However, notice that what we need to be reminded of is not only God's wonderful attribute of peace, but also of his great work in our sanctification. For it is the God of peace himself, notice, who sanctifies. Beloved, this isn't the work of another. This isn't your own work either, but God and God alone. This is the Spirit's work. God himself is at work in you. Take a moment and think about that. How wonderful and amazing this is. For it teaches us about our relationship with him, our great covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. It teaches us about the benefits of our union with Christ, and even this benefit of our sanctification. It teaches us about his desire, his power, his work, even his promises. And Paul goes on to say that his desire was that God would, notice, sanctify them completely. When we talk about sanctification, there are two aspects that we need to be aware of. The first is called definitive sanctification. It occurs when we are saved and it continues forever. All Christians are called holy by God. We are now a part of God's people. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9. In Christ, we are a new creation, Paul told the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And the second aspect is called progressive sanctification. Everything we experience in the Christian life isn't instantaneous. There is a progressive growth in grace. We are called holy, and we are also becoming holy. Paul speaks here to the progressive aspect of sanctification. And he prays that God would do so completely. Now, I know I've talked about Paul's words regarding complete sanctification a bit already, but what does this word completely mean? Well, the Greek word for completely is only used in this verse. It literally means holy or through and through. In other words, Paul is referring to all parts and degrees of holiness. God is molding and preparing us for heaven, beloved. John Calvin spoke of complete sanctification as the, quote, entire renovation of the man. The entire renovation of the man. It isn't as if the kitchen and the bathrooms were renovated in a house, but the rest was left alone. No, there is no part or aspect of us that God leaves untouched and unchanged. Think of it this way. Do you know how to make an elephant out of a block of stone? You chisel away everything that doesn't look like an elephant. And similarly, as God sanctifies us, he is chiseling away everything that doesn't look like Christ. God is removing those things that need to be removed, and he is growing those things that must be present. And one day, beloved, one day, Paul is saying here, that will be complete. And though complete sanctification is on the one hand hard to imagine, on the other hand, it's one of the most exciting things that we can desire and expect, as we know the great God of peace is perfectly capable and perfectly willing to do it. Praise the Lord. And so desiring their holiness, Paul continues in his prayer for their holiness. He says, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had a similar prayer when he wrote to the Thessalonians again, approximately a couple of months later in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. There he said, therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, Paul told the saints that he kept praying that God's grace would abundantly flow to them and that they would keep growing in that grace and growing in that unique grace of faith. And in that growth, they would glorify God. And that is what Paul is really praying for here in 23b as well. In verse 23, also note the continuity of this theme of wholeness. As Paul prays that God would sanctify them completely or wholly, he goes on to pray that God would preserve their whole spirit, soul, and body blameless at the coming of Christ. In other words, the whole man will be preserved, both the inward man and the outward man. There is no part of them, and there is no part of us that will be left out. And so we see here sanctification. We see here preservation. And note, we will be preserved blameless. Literally, the word blameless in the Greek means to keep. And in some contexts, it can mean to guard and to protect. This is the same word used of one who watches the door of a prison. And we see that in Acts 4:3. Acts 5:18, as well as Acts 24:23. But beloved, have you considered that you are being kept and guarded by God unto salvation? Paul spoke confidently about this to Timothy as he thought of God's preservation of Timothy. In 2 Timothy 4:18, he said, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, our justification will bear the fruit of our acquittal on that final judgment day. Those who are preserved to that day are preserved to the end and will be found blameless in Christ. Remember Shorter Catechism question 38 and the answer to it as well. The question is, what benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection? And the answer, at the resurrection, believers being raised up in glory shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment, and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. And that's what Paul's prayer and desire is here. That we would experience our justification in full acquittal, and then we would be completely fitted and prepared to delight in God's special presence in heaven forever. But then notice Paul goes on in verse 24 to give us assurance. And what is the ground of our assurance? God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. Here we find the glorious answer to the doubts or to the questions of could he or even would he? Here we find a great instiller of peace and joy into our hearts. Verse 24, he who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Paul similarly speaks of God's call and his faithfulness in 1 Corinthians 1:9. He says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What we need to understand about God's calling, my friends, is that it's effectual in the hearts of his chosen people. His kindness and love appeared to the Thessalonians. His kindness and love has appeared to us in Christ. And it has also appeared in the calling to us, to the knowledge of his truth. Further, God's faithfulness is our security that we should persevere to the end. And therefore, we can be assured that God will do what he desires. He will do what he has promised. He will accomplish all the good pleasure of his goodness towards us. And he has told us that he will preserve us. He indeed will preserve us, and we can trust him to do that. But know also that God's faithfulness isn't based or even dependent on us. God told Timothy, God remains faithful whether we are or not. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And so, my beloved friends, think about this. When God starts a work in a soul, he completes it till the day of Christ Jesus. God doesn't start a project and stop halfway through. What a comfort and an encouragement that this is. In the midst of even slow progress from our perspective in growth and grace. In the midst of many discouragements regarding how we think, how we act and behave, things we think about. What a comfort it is that God has a deep and an awesome work in our sanctuary. Remember what we sing at the end of each worship service as we sing Psalm 117. How does that song end? And even may what we've just considered give us more fervor in proclaiming those words of God's faithfulness. He is faithful. He is faithful. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. So I'll leave you with this. Though there is an aspect of sanctification that is indeed definitive, we are holy. We are called holy. Growing in grace indeed is a process. Sanctification is also progressive. God grows us, He molds us, and conforms us more and more to the image of Christ. And yet take home what Paul drives home in this benediction to the Thessalonians. Of these glorious realities that the God of peace is at work in us, sanctifying us. It is His work. And He will be faithful to complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. Don't doubt, but trust Him today. Many questions regarding His promises and action are satisfied in these seven words. And take them home with you today. God is faithful. He will do it. Praise God for His word. Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.